أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. A lot of times we convince ourselves in the practice of our religion, or we convince ourselves in accepting Deen and Islam in a very shallow and superficial way. We take it in a very superficial way, whereas we have the potential and the capacity of accepting it in a very deeper and more profound way. We end up taking deen or practicing deen or accepting it in a way that is not meaningful, is very shallow. And by doing that, what we end up doing, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. What we end up doing is being dishonest with ourselves and our religion. Because of the fact that we took Islam, we took it, but we convinced ourselves about Islam in a way that was not meaningful. It's not profound. It's not deep. It's not like real. We just took it, and by taking it, we were just like now, sitting, and we take it in a way that it doesn't have a lot of meaning for us. And by doing this, we are dishonest with ourselves and our deen. Send a salawat, please. You know, it's like someone sells something that is very expensive to us for something cheap. For example, you know, this person, you know, he likes you, and he sells an iPhone 6, which might be worth $700, and he sells it to you for $10. You know, at first you check to see if it's real, right? And it is, it's real. Right, and then after that, when you see that it's real, that the iPhone is real, you know, and it's worth $700, and here he's selling to you because he likes you for $10. Now, obviously, you know, it's like practically giving it away, right? It's like free. He's saying $10, just give me $10 for it. Now, even though it's cheap, even though you will never find an iPhone 6 for $10. And he's offering it to you for $10, you start bargaining with him. How about seven? What? I mean, really, are you kidding me? I'm practically giving it away to you, and you want to bargain with it? You want to bring it down? You want to make it less? I mean, really, this is, and then after, say, okay, you know, I won't bargain. I'll take it, you know, for the $10. I'll take it for the $10 because it's $10. It's not going to harm me, right? It's only $10, right? It's not going to hurt me. So I take it with no interest. With no interest at all in the phone. It's only because it's so cheap, it won't matter to me. My friends, this is how most people have taken their religion. This is how they take their religion. Allah has given something so expensive and so valuable and so priceless, He is giving it to us for so cheap, for so little, and then we end up bargaining with Allah. Why this and why that? Right? We bargain with Him, and then after we realize, man, this is bad if I bargain, it's so cheap, so let's get it, it's not going to harm me. This is the attitude of people in relationship to religion. That's how they accept faith. That's how they accept deen. salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. They convince themselves of Allah, they convince themselves of deen and Islam and practice of deen in a manner which is not meaningful. And because of that, you see that it's very easy for them to let go of their religion also. Anytime any problem comes, the first thing to go is religion. Anytime when you see that there's joy and happiness, the first thing to go is religion. Why? Because they never convince themselves of it. That's why you see, you lose a job, the first thing that goes is religion. It doesn't matter now if it's haram and halal. I need to pay the rent, pay the bills, right? So the first thing to go is, I don't care if it's haram, I'll do it. That's the first thing to go. Why is it so easy for this person to let go of his deen? Because he never truly accepted it in a deep manner, in a profound manner. He never accepted it. When joy comes around, wedding comes around, what happens first? The first thing to go is religion. It's wedding time. It's time to party. You know? So, you know, don't talk about haram and halal here. It's wedding time. It's an exception. And that's what you do. The first thing to go is religion. Why is religion so easy to let go of, my friends? Understand the subject here. So what happens is that the religion is easy to let go of because it was never accepted in a profound way. We never convinced ourselves of accepting it, because people who accept religion and Allah in a profound manner, when they practice, their practice is different. When they go into sajda and prostration, they don't want to come up. They don't want to get out of it. When they do a sin or something wrong, then that day is a tragedy for them. It's as if there was an earthquake happened and everything was destroyed. That's it, you know. Their whole lives are messed up because one sin that they did. It's so disturbing for them. Why? Because they took deen in a profound manner. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My friends, whenever you feel that we are taking our deen lightly, or religion is not as important for us, or you see that we barely think about it, we hardly try to concentrate on it, or it's easy for us to let go of it, then we need to see, how did I convince myself of following religion? How did I convince myself? In what way did I convince myself? You need to go back to the root. How do we convince ourselves to accept Allah in a real manner? How do we, you know, how do we convince ourselves of accepting the practice of religion in a more meaningful manner? Well, my friends, one of the ways in which you can truly convince yourself of believing in Allah, following Allah, doing what He says, one of the ways of doing that is by the subject of lazzat and pleasure. Yes. Pleasure, enjoyment, fun is the subject in Islam that helps a person to convince himself of Allah and deen in a much more profound manner. Yes. That's why we're discussing fun, enjoyment, pleasure. This is the way by which we, when we actually practice it, we will convince ourselves much more deeply of Allah and His deen than a person who doesn't have fun. So let's go into that if we send the salawats. My friends, the purpose of our creation, the reason why Allah created us, is so that He can thoroughly make us have fun. That He can make us enjoy and give us pleasure. That's why Allah created us. Keep that in mind. Because if we don't understand why we have been created, and I will answer that question later in the speech, but right now for us to just understand this, as I said, deen is not simplistic. Religion is not simple. It is not for simple-minded people. They will never understand the deep construction in which Allah made His religion. Simple-minded people will just look at a hadith and see black and white. They don't even know how to look past it. How to go beyond that. What does it actually mean? And that's why when we are talking about human beings. Human beings, Allah created them as the best of creation. They are not like animals. They are more complex than that. And the message that Allah sent them is also complex in order to make it applicable to human beings. La ilaha illallah. Allah wants us to enjoy. Allah wants us to have fun and just be pleased. That's it. That's what Allah wants from you. That's why He made you. He made you so that you can have fun. So now, the ultimate fun, the ultimate party is going to be in paradise. When you reach paradise, that's going to be the ultimate fun and enjoyment and pleasure, right? That's there. But then, when you look at this, and I want you to see something at the root of this right now. When you look at Jannah, and when you look at all the fun that's in Jannah, and all the pleasure that's in Jannah, one of the questions that, you know, people have, we have, human beings have, when they look at Jannah, one of the basic fundamental questions that they have is that, okay, if we are going to enjoy everything in Jannah, and have all the party in Jannah, aren't we going to get bored? I mean, just imagine that I'm having fun every day. I mean, how much can I go on having fun? I'm going to get tired of this. We think like that, right? It's there. And, okay, we can handle it here in this life because we know it's going to end. But how about there where it's forever? And forever, you are doing what? Having fun. And you're thinking, wow, that's hard. That's difficult. Now, that would be tiring. It is a question that comes up in us and in all human beings. So that my children can understand, let me give you an example. You know, when I was a kid, there used to be a sci-fi show called The Twilight Zone. I don't know if you all remember the Twilight Zone. It was black and white. And in one of those episodes that they had, there was a thief who was shot by the cops. And this thief who was shot by the cops, you know, he wakes up and there's an angel there to greet him. He's like, what? You know, I'm a thief. You're an angel. I thought I'll be taken to, you know, by some sort of demon or something, right? He says, no. You know, this is how we do it here. Angels are here to greet you. He says, wow, maybe I did something good, or there might be a mistake in the judgment or something, right? The court records aren't straight, you know? I don't care. I'm happy. So the angel said, you know, I'm going to take you to your destination. He took him to his room, the room that was there. And in the room, the angel said, listen, you stay here. You can have anything you want. Yes, anything you want. He said, anything? Yes. So the first thing he does is order a steak dinner. He says, I want a steak dinner. All right, you know, you get a steak dinner. He eats the steak dinner. And then after that, he starts ordering different things, and different things come about happening. And the angel says, all right, I'll be back after a week to check on you. You know, you all, you know, you can have fun as much as you want here, right? Now, when the angel comes back after a week, I'm making it short, after he comes back after a week, he sees the guy is a little bit sad. A little bit sad. Because everything he wishes for is happening. Boom, it happens here, it happens there, it happens there, you know, it's all happening. And so what happened is that this person, the angel, he says, what happened, you know? He says, listen, it's not the same. He says, what's not the same? You see, when I was alive in the world, I used to run after things. That's what used to make it exciting. I used to have fun doing that. Right? Now, whatever I wish for, I get. And I thought that heaven would be a happy place. That heaven would be, you know, exciting. That heaven would be so fun. The angel said, who says you're in heaven? Now this is an example of a fundamental question that people have regarding Jannat. When you think of Jannat, you're like, okay, every day I get whatever I want. Am I not going to get tired? Isn't it going to get exhausted after a while? Friends, that is a question, right? Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to answer the question. I'm not going to answer the question, right? I'm just going to give you a viewpoint. How Allah wants you to look at this. Allah says you have this question. That is a good question. You know why? Because this question you're asking, this fundamental question you're asking, is because you have it in your nature. It's coming from your nature, your basic, fundamental nature of lazzat and pleasure and seeking pleasure. You want infinite pleasure. And you are afraid that that infinite pleasure is going to wear out. Good. That is a question you should be asking. Am I not going to get that? That's Allah's challenge that He has taken. I will not let you get bored in Jannat. Right? That's Allah's challenge. Your question that you're asking and what you are afraid of is because you have the fitrat and the nature to have fun, to enjoy. That's your nature, and that nature is infinite. And based on this, you're asking this question. And Allah is saying, it's good you're asking. Now let me entertain you there and see if you get bored. That is a challenge Allah is taking. So just reach there, and then now it's up to me. Of course, hadith have mentioned so many things in regards to this, right? You know, as an example, they said that every time you drink water in Jannat, it will have a different taste. It will never be repeated again, ever. Every color that you see, you will only see it once. There will be so many colors. It will be so much for an infinity. Allah will create a variety for you that you'll never get tired of. But that's, you know, how hadith explained it. But the question is what's important. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Right, one more salawat. Alright, they say that we have audio videos set up in the library. Sisters with small kids can go there to listen to the majlis. Alright, that's an announcement break, so go ahead, salawats. My friends, this is our nature, that we are seeking pleasure. Everything we do in life is to seek pleasure. Everything you do in life. No one does anything to become sad. No one does anything to suffer. Sufferings do happen. Sadness does come. But it's not because, we planned it out. Right? You know, like for example, this year I planned that, you know what, I'm going to get a disease in October, you know, and then, you know, after that, you know, I'll go here. We don't make such plans. Because whatever we do and plan is always there in order that we enjoy and seek pleasure. This is our fitrat. Understand this point first, because from here, there's so much to understand in our relationship with Allah. First, our fitrat is that we have fun. Every goal that Allah has made for you is made so that you can enjoy. So that you can enjoy. Every rank that He made for you is so that you can have more pleasure. You know, for example, He made a rank of a Muslim, right? Islam is a rank. If someone enters Islam, it is a rank for him. He's a Muslim now. He has a title of Muslim. So when you become a Muslim, what happens? What happens? Pain? No. The idea of being a Muslim, now there is a pleasure that you will feel. Allah wants you to feel that pleasure and experience that. When you become a mu'min and believe in the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, then what happens? Sadness? Oh, I'm so sad, you know. But my friends, Allah made this rank so that you can experience pleasure, that you can enjoy. Every rank and every position and every goal that Allah has made for mankind is for that. And I want to come to this important question that's there. But before I go there, just let me explain one thing. That if a person denies this nature of pleasure, you know, we are just pleasure-seeking people. Who am I? I am just seeking pleasure, that's all. Because a lot of people who are religious, they reject or they deny this nature because of the word lazat, or pleasure, that they feel is a demeaning word. And because they feel it's a demeaning word, they do not pursue it. Because it is used for things that are disreputable. That's why they think that lazat, or we're not into pleasure. We're not people like that. Oh, really? You're not, huh? Yes, we're not into pleasure. My friends, listen, let's go a little bit deeper into our hearts. And you know what, I apologize at the outset, you know, for bringing out things that's going to be uncomfortable. Right? Because of the fact that it's deep in our hearts and these things don't come out so easily. And unless they don't come out, they can never be rectified. And really, in Muharram, in Safar, when we are here for the majlis of Imam Hussein, this is not a majlis. This majlis are not meant for people to try to become mediocre. These majalis is a movement for people to strive and reach for excellence. And for striving and reaching for excellence means that we have to go way deep inside ourselves. We make our prayers and we just need to be honest with ourselves. Who am I? What am I? We make our prayers. Tell me. We stand before Allah. We know we are standing before Allah. We have respect. We made wudu, you know, and we are standing, you know, because this is not, you know, I mean, when we stand for prayer, it's because we respect Allah. It's because we have respect for Allah. That's why we're standing for prayer, right? That's the reason. Otherwise, if we didn't have respect, we wouldn't even do that. And this could be anything. Unfortunately, this happens. It's a disease that can affect anyone. I remember once, you know, this person, I'm going on a tangent now, but, you know, just to make you understand what I'm saying. This person who was, you know, Shia Alim, had this experience one that he shared, and I want to share it with you all, so that maybe you can understand something in regards to this. And before I do that, if I can ask all the people to move forward, please. There's hardly any room at the door, so if you all can move forward, everyone. So inshallah, with the loud salawats. My friends, when he said that once he went to a village to read some majalis, just like here, You know, I came here to Houston. He went to a village to read some majalis, and the people in the majlis, you know, and all these people who come there, they said, hey, you know what, the Sunni Imam who's leading the Friday prayer, he has become an agnostic. He doesn't believe in Allah anymore. And so the Alim, you know, he was like, what are you talking about? He's leading Friday prayer, this is that, it's all rumors. One day, after the program was over, they used to have a sit down somewhere at someone's house and this and that, where everyone would come and just hang out, you know, have tea, you know, maybe some hookah, you know, and all that. So as it was going on in the village, so what happened is that one brother came to him and said, hey, listen, that alim we were speaking about, the imam, the Juma imam, he's here. And you know, they, you know, the imam was there in the gathering hanging out with people, and you know, the alim looked at him and he didn't want to do anything or say anything. You know, he said, it's none of my business. So as he was sitting there, you know, and after everyone started leaving, the Sunni imam came next to him. And so he introduced himself. Oh, you know, I'm the imam at Juma at the masjid here, this and that. So the imam, yes, I heard. He said, I'm sure you heard other things about me also. So he was like, now a little bit embarrassed, right? In a very awkward position. So he said, hey, listen, you know what I mean? I did hear it, but I didn't believe it because, you know, this and that and all these things. Trying to explain it to the Sunni imam. So the Sunni imam said, no, all of that is true. Said, what? Yeah, I don't believe in Allah. I don't believe in it. You know? Now he's like, one of those Southwest moments, you know? I want to be out of there somewhere else, you know. So here he's like, God, but I heard that you did the Friday prayer here. So the imam said, yeah, that's my job. That's my job. I lead the Friday prayer. And my job description is that I should give 2 khutbahs. So I give 2 khutbahs, you know, and I give good ones also. People love it. That's my job. I'm doing my job. So whatever I have to do, I do as a job. But whatever I don't have to do, I don't do. For example, making wudu is not a part of my job, so I don't make wudu. Finish. You know, that's a job that I'm doing. Unfortunately, what happens for many people, this is how deen is. This is a job, you know, that they're doing. This is a scary place to be, a frightening place to be. Right? Usually happens with people who, again, do not go towards Allah in the right direction, in the right manner. People who think that, you know, we are not people who are enjoying and, you know, lazzat and pleasure, this is not us. Okay, let's talk about it now. You know, look at yourself when you're praying. Tell me, is your focus on Allah or somewhere else? How much percentage is it on Allah? Really, where is your heart? You know, you don't need to answer that. You know it. I know it. And I'm here looking in. Wow. I am trying my best to focus on Allah. See, this is our situation. If you ask the people who have convinced themselves about their deen, they have to try their hardest to take their focus away from Allah. Their intent and focus is on Allah, and you need to take them away. Look at Imam Ali. Right? Are you so much into prayers? You need to pry him out of prayers. And we are so far away from prayers, you have to pull us into prayer. Right? That's the way it is. So here, I'm telling you, my friends, let's look at this really well. Why is it that I can't pay attention? And when I pray, when I'm praying, so what are you trying to do? Really, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to oblige Allah? You think that you can make Allah owe you something by praying? Why are you praying? Why are you praying for? Your heart's not in it. Mine's not in it, so why are you praying? Well, I'm just trying to follow. Okay, then you are just you know, listening to his command. This prayer is a prayer of submission. It can never be a prayer of a lover. It can never be from the heart. Friends, really, we need to accurately understand who we are. Looking at ourselves, and then from there we move forward. You don't understand where we are in a mess. I mean, really, people who do not understand what pleasure is, they end up feeling entitled before Allah. Yes, they feel entitled before Allah. Allah, I didn't enjoy because of you. Okay, who told you not to enjoy? Did I tell you to stop enjoying, to have fun? Well, yeah, we thought that was religion. All the muttaqi people in our masjid, you know, we used to be angry all the time, and we thought anger is the way of taqwa. I didn't tell you that. Right? Ya Rasulullah, did you tell him that? I didn't say that. Imam Ali, did you say that? I didn't say that. In fact, when you look at Rasulullah, he was always smiling. Always happy. When you look at Imam Ali, he was always smiling. He was always happy. And here you have, you see the people who opposed Imam Ali and took his place, hijacked his position. One of the excuses that they made in order to make the people convinced that Imam Ali should not be the Khalifa is that he's not serious enough.
Ya Allah.
He's not serious enough. And people are like, well, that's true, you know, he's not serious. He's always like, you know, happy, fun, witty, joking, you know. People accepted that because they knew that's the case. That was Imam Ali. And so here we are. We make deen and say that, listen, deen is about anger. Look at people angrily. Yes, you know, hard. And now what happens when we go and pray and we're not happy, what happens is that now when we pray, we think that we are obliging Allah by praying. And when we oblige Allah and when we pray, so now what happens, we think that Allah owes us Jannah. Allah, you owe me now. Why? Because I sacrificed my pleasures. That was there. I sacrificed my pleasures, now I owe. Now you owe me. The prayer, the ibadah of such people is ridiculous, and the tawbah, repentance of these people is ridiculous. If you see the way people who do not enjoy and who do not enjoy to the full make repentance, it will be like this. Allah, please forgive me, I have sinned and I have other things to do. If you please get over with this, you know, I have things to do. My schedule is busy. What? I'm sorry, but you know, I have things to do. Allah, you know, if you can just do it fast, you know, make it go fast. What? This is your repentance? This is asking for forgiveness? This is your istighfar before Allah? It is absurd. And hence, their relationship with Allah is completely misguided. It ends up like that, my friends. I'll explain this more as time comes. And we will go into this so that we can understand this subject really and thoroughly. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The greatest misguidance of people is because of pleasure. Most people are not misguided because of other things. They're misguided because of pleasure. Because they think, and shaitan has made them, and that will come, that they think that deen does not want you to have fun. And because of that, they run away from deen. First in their hearts, then if the time comes, expressively, apparently, it will happen. There's no way out of it. A person, he can't go near Allah unless he completely drowns himself in pleasure. Cannot. It can't happen. And this is what we want to talk about in these 10 days. What is the method of getting, real way of getting towards Allah? And what is not the way that people usually end up taking, because shaitan makes them think simplistically and they end up making a relationship that is misguided with Allah, and hence you see that their prayers, their repentance, everything becomes useless. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد. You know, our actions, my friends, our actions are not big. Really, we have not done anything big. We have not done anything great. Right? And hence, we should have a little bit of humility when we deal with Allah. A little bit of humility is in order when we have to stand before Allah, my friends. Let me give you an example so you can compare it. Anytime you might want to feel a little bit good about what you have done, right? Let me just give you an example, right? That was Ashura. Let's go to Ashura, right? That was Ashura. That was Imam Hussein's sacrifice. Who sacrificed? Imam Hussein. We know his sacrifice, what it's meant to Allah. It means a lot to Allah, right? And that was Imam Hussein's body lying on the battlefield. And that was Zainab sitting next to his body. And that was her kneeling before Allah, raising her hands and humbly saying, Allah, please accept this small sacrifice. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We can have the kids over here on this side. Kids, you can go stay on this side. You know, my friends, that is a sacrifice that Allah prides himself on. And Zainab, who understands and has the ma'rifat of Allah, is saying, Allah, please accept this small sacrifice from us. And here we are, one prayer we make and say, you know, that's, you know, my window in Jannah, you know. How many windows have you put in your house? My friends, a little bit of humility is in order when we stand before Allah. Where does this humility come from? It'll come tomorrow, right? I'll explain that. But that's in order. You know, feeling good doesn't make us good. And this is how many people's relationship with Allah is. You know, let's say, someone, you're standing on the street and someone is walking down, reaches into his pocket, takes out his cell phone. And by mistake, there's a dollar bill that falls to the ground from his pocket. You saw the dollar bill fall to the pocket, he did not see it. And you, being a good Samaritan, go forward and, pick up the dollar bill and say, sir, you know. And, you know, you give it back to him. You know, and you know, he looks at the dollar bill, you know, and he's going to give it to a beggar anyway, right? It's worth nothing to him. You did that for him, you know, you picked up the dollar bill, all of a sudden you left everything, you picked up the dollar bill and you gave it to him, right? You gave it to him. And you know what? Of course you did something good, right? I mean, it's not bad. It's a good thing you did. Tell me, after you did this, right? How are you feeling? Are you feeling good?
Yeah.
You're feeling good, right? Very good. You're feeling good. God forbid, my friends, that our attitude is not like this when we meet Allah. Allah, you know, I picked up the rules that you laid down, you know, here you are. And I feel good. What? Feel good? God forbid we don't meet Allah like this. Right, thinking that deen was this, right in front of man. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, as I said, I apologize beforehand for making things uncomfortable, but, you know, these things are there that are deep in our hearts. Deep in our hearts, we don't express it because it's really ugly to express things like that in ourselves, right? This is why, my friends, it's so important to understand what it means. La ilaha illallah. Now let me come to a question that I said, which is very important. A question that every one of you is asking all your life, and it's going to bother you for the rest of your life. And hopefully I want to answer that question today. This is a question that bothers all human beings. Everyone who's alive is bothering him. It is also bothering you. And it's in your mind, but we don't ask it. Our children are honest enough to ask. Our children are honest enough to ask these questions. We don't ask these questions. What is that question that bothers everyone in this world? Why am I created? Why did Allah create me? Really, why did Allah create you? Now, let me tell you the truth about this question. There is no answer to this question that is going to satisfy you. There's no answer to this question that is going to satisfy you. Whatever answer you get, it will not satisfy you. Look at this, my friends, and pay very much attention to this. It's not going to satisfy you, whatever answer you give. Allah says in the Quran, well, why did Allah create me? Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created us for ibadat, for worship, for service. Okay, let me look at that, service, you know. Okay, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Why? Okay, you know, I will pray. Allah, I'm praying. Is that why you created me? So that I can bow down and stand up, listen to you? Is that the reason that you created me, my friends? Wow, I don't know what's in it for me. Really? La ilaha illallah. Now, you can give this answer in Sunday school and get away with it. Because you got kids, you know, and the kids will take whatever you give them. They'll think, okay, whatever, you know, if I don't listen, you know, they'll throw me out of class or give me a failing grade. So, you know, they'll accept it. But you, as a real person who's actually looking into it, why would you accept such an answer? And Allah is not giving an answer to this. Allah is giving you something by which the answer will be gained. How can you, I mean, what can satisfy this question, my friends? Why did Allah create me? Why did Allah create me? Allah created you so that you can reach perfection. Okay, I will strive to reach perfection, but what's in it for me? You can take this. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yeah. So now what happens, my friends, is this. Understand this carefully, because really, why did Allah create me? What is the reason for my creation? To reach perfection? What's in it for me then? Okay, I become all this. So what? No, Allah created you so that He can send you to Jannah. Okay, He wants me to send you to Jannah. So what? What's in it for me? My friends, understand it really well. Is it perfection? Is it worship? Is it service? Is it Jannat? None of these answers are going to satisfy a human being. If you say it, he will take it and then ask it again, why did Allah create me? It will be like this. It will never end. So you know why? My friends, here's the thing. The only way to answer this question, is to enjoy so much, have so much fun, that the question disappears from your mind. Yes. Have so much fun that this question doesn't even appear in your mind. No. And everyone's like thinking, okay, now what? Let me give you an example. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You see, someone you met on a plane coming back from Ziyarat, right? You met someone on the plane and he was, you know, really happy to meet you, became your friend and this and that, and, you know, And it all happened in the business class section because accidentally, you know, you had your economy seat, but they were full, so they gave you a business class seat, you know. So in the business class seat, you met someone who, you know, liked your company and this and that, and said, all right, you know what, I'm so happy with you, let me give you $1 trillion. What, $1 trillion? Okay. Yeah, $1 trillion. So he gave you $1 trillion. You know how many zeros that has? Okay, you know, okay, a lot of zeros, right? So that's a big amount, right? So now, all of a sudden, you went from the 99% to the top of the 1%, right? And so now when you went to the top of the 1%, here you are, a trillionaire, having all the money. So, you know, you do the first thing that anyone would do if they get $1 trillion. You'll go to work and say, I quit. And then after you said, I quit, you know, now you start to spend the money. You start spending here, you go to Hajj, you go to Ziyarat, you take your family to Ziyarat, you take the community to Ziyarat, you know. And then world tour, whatever it is, right? You're doing it and you're not even beginning to scratch the surface of the amount of money that he gave you. You are not even beginning to scratch the surface. And you're spending and you're enjoying it and so much, you're not even enjoying it. Now, someone comes and asks you and says, man, why did he give you $1 trillion? Why did he give you $1 trillion? You look at that and say, why did he? Oh, I don't care. I don't care what he gave me. I have it and I'm having fun with it. My friend, understand this. If he was not having fun, then he would be like, you know, for example, if he gave him a check for $1 trillion and said, you can't cash it for the next 25 years, he'd be like, well, why did he give this to me? I can't have fun with it. You see, if you're not having fun, then the question is going to repeat in your mind, why did he give me this? But if you're having fun, if you're enjoying, if you are taking pleasure, then you would never ask the question, why did he give me $1 trillion? My friend, this is exactly how Allah has dealt with us. Allah says, I have given you an infinite amount of blessings. You can't even count them. $1 trillion is nothing. I have given you an infinite amount of blessings that you are already enjoying, that you are benefiting from. Every blessing that you have, you are taking advantage of it, and you're having fun. If you're having fun, then you would never ask me, Allah, why did you give me this? Allah, why did you make me? You would never ask me. The only reason you would ask me is if you're not having fun, if you're not enjoying, if you are miserable, to which I'm saying, why are you miserable? I gave you all these toys to have fun with. Really, my friends, this is it. This is the importance of lazzat in Islam. If you truly enjoy the blessings of Allah, the question of why Allah created me will disappear from your mind and heart. It is we who have the disease of not having fun, of not being capable of having fun. We are at fault. Allah says, have fun. Why? Because then the basic question in your life will be erased. This is one thing. The only answer to this is this, my friends. There's no other way to get rid of this answer, this question. It's because of this reason. Have so much fun, Allah is saying, that you know what? You won't care why you're created, because you're just happy that you are. You won't care why you're alive, because you will be just happy that you are, because you're enjoying every moment of it. La ilaha illallah. This is it, my friends. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, I'll do the rest tomorrow, inshallah, as we go on. How do I convince myself of my faith in Allah. How do I convince myself, my friends? This is the way of conviction. Enjoy Allah's blessings so much, that your heart and your mind will completely be bonded towards Allah. I will explain in detail tomorrow how this works. In reality, because these are things that are not rare. These are things that we are going 24/7 in our lives. Every day we have these. And this is why it's so important to understand the subject of lazzat and pleasure. What is this pleasure? And from there we'll be able to convince ourselves. Yes. You know, when you cry for Imam Hussein, do you feel pleasure afterwards? When you cry for Imam Hussein, do you feel pleasure afterwards? You know, like, wow, you know, feel a calm, sense of happiness that you expressed love for the son of Fatima. Do you feel that in you? You know, if you do, in Jannat, when you will reach Jannat, Allah will look at you and He will say that because you felt sad for Hussein and you always long to be with him, I will not keep you separated from Hussein. I will not keep you separated from Hussein. Here, I want you to be with Hussein. You cried for him, right? You wept tears for him. So in Jannat, Allah will say here, Hussein will be your company. Now when he becomes your company, you're excited. This mourning, this crying, this weeping, it gives us what? It gives us pleasure. It is. It gives us pleasure. Sometimes we might feel that, wow, is this a right thing or a wrong thing? Sometimes you might feel guilty about it, but don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. It was meant to be like that. It is supposed to be like that. Allah made this this movement of grief in order that we take, that we will be given pleasure. It is the way it is. Now, because you receive pleasure, I mean, every time I cried, I felt happy. Every time I did matam, I felt happy. Every time I did something for Imam Hussein, I felt happy. I cooked food for him, I felt happy. I felt happy for that. I felt a sense of pleasure for that. And here I am. If I now go on the Day of Judgment, would you do this? If you know, if you felt that pleasure, would you go on the Day of Judgment and say, Ya Allah, I cried for Hussein. I shed tears for Hussein. These tears came out. Now I want something in return for these tears. Would you say that? Would you want something in return for these tears that you are shedding? Would you want something in exchange for that? And ask Allah, Allah, I cried for Hussein, so now give me something in return for that. My friends, you see, this will be, you know, Allah will look at you and say, you said, I don't deal with you like that. You are more special to me than dealing with you to give you something in return for these tears. I don't deal with you like that. My dealing with you is that you are special to me. You are special to me. You want to exchange these tears so that I can give you rewards and ajr? Yes, you know there are hadith that says that every tear that you shed, there's ajr for that there. But tell me, would you exchange these tears for that ajr? Allah, no. I took complete and thorough pleasure in crying for Hussein. You know, this person had gone to make ziyarat and he came back to the hotel after making ziyarat of Imam Hussein, of Abba Abdullah. in Karbala. He went there and made ziyarat, and then after making the ziyarat, he came back. When he went in the haram, he was crying. When he came back, he was smiling. He came back and said, "Maulana, Maulana." I said, "What?" "I feel guilty." He said, "Why do you feel guilty for?" He said, "Because, you know, I mean, this is Imam Hussain, this is Karbala, we should be in grief. But after I made ziyarat, there was a sense of pleasure, a smile came over my face. Am I doing something wrong here?" I told him, "No, you're not doing anything wrong. Allah meant for you to have this after crying for Hussain. Allah meant for you to have this after crying for Hussain. When you know, when you raise there, Allah will say, you know, don't exchange these tears that you have. You know why? Because you are special. I'm giving Hussain to you. You know what will happen? You know what will happen? Hussain is going to come in the gathering and he's going to sit across the table from you. When he sits across the table from you, just imagine. Just imagine. Maybe just dream. Look at it. Just imagine looking into the eyes of Imam Hussain, sitting across you in the table. Looking into those beautiful eyes. Those so compassionate eyes, just looking into them. We will be bewildered. We will be just enchanted. And you know what will happen? We might tell the person sitting next to me, "You see that? That's Hussain. That's Hussain there. Hussain would have overwhelmed our hearts in such a way that we will look at Hussain and say, you know, in my life there, I couldn't take my mind off his memory. In the world, I couldn't take my mind off his memory. And in here, I cannot see myself separating from Hussain." My brothers and sisters, have you seen Hussain? Have you seen Hussain? No, you have not. Have you felt his presence? No, you have not. Have you felt the warmth of his body? No, you have not. Did he ever see you with his loving and compassionate eyes? No, he has not. You just heard a few things regarding Hussain, and you can't imagine yourself separating from Hussain. You can't imagine seeing yourself away from Hussain. My friends, Sakina saw Hussain. Sakina felt the presence of Hussain. Sakina slept on the chest of Hussain. Sakina saw those compassionate, loving eyes of Hussain looking into her soul. Imagine what Sakina went through when she had to say farewell to Imam Hussain. Sakina, what did you have to go through? We can't handle leaving Hussain and seeing ourselves separated from Hussain. And here you are, Sakina, 4 years old, and you can't imagine. How can you say farewell to your father? That's why you can imagine Sakina holding to the leg of the horse of Imam Hussain, holding to the leg of Zuljanah and saying, "O steed of my father, don't take my father to the battlefield. Don't take him to the battlefield." Sakina held on to that horse until the horse would not move. Hussain told the horse, "One more time, I don't ask you much, just one more time." The horse would not move, but he pointed to the legs, and Hussain saw his daughter clinging to the legs of the horse, saying, "Do not take my father." Hussain got off the horse, picked up Sakina, and said, "Sakina, what is the matter? I said farewell to you." He said, "Father," baby, but Sakina looked at him and said, "Father, you don't know. You don't know. I'm just a child. You have enamored. You have enchanted me. Your love has overwhelmed me. How can I let you go?" When Hussein looked at Sakina, he said, "Okay, Sakina, let me make a deal with you. Let me make a deal with you. Do you like your brother Asghar? Do you like your brother Asghar?" She said, "Yes." "Would you want him to have what you have?" He said, "Yes." "All right then, Sakina, here's the deal I want to make with you. Until today in your life, you used to sleep on my chest and your brother slept on his mother's chest. From today, let's make a deal that you sleep on your mother's chest and let your brother have my chest." سلام الذين سلموا أي منقلب يتقلبون يا محمود بحق محمد يا الله بحق علي يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطمة يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسين. Allah, give us the tawfiq to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.